Good?
All time.
And all the time?
God is good.
God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Amen. One pastor said he's actually better than you think. His goodness is of such that it's hard for us to actually comprehend it. And the more we learn about God and the more we understand about God, is the more we realize the greatness of his goodness towards us. That his goodness will never come to an end. He's such a gracious and loving Heavenly Father. We want to continue the series, Hindrances to the Flow of God. We made mention of the fact that many of the words used in the scripture to describe the Spirit of the Lord can be seen as a flow. It talks about the wind. And in John, Jesus talks about that the Spirit is like the wind. In Acts 2, the Spirit came as the sound of a wind. And there are words that describe him as a wind, words that describe him as a river, words that describe him as a spring. There's always some sort of flow, some sort of movement. The psalmist talks about there being a city, the streams of which make glad the people of God. And we want to flow with the Spirit of God. We want to experience more and more of what God has for us. And but there are oftentimes things that come in the way that hinder that flow. Last week we looked at the spirit of Cain, that Cain didn't do his best. He was half-hearted in the sacrifice that he offered. While Abel offered a sacrifice that was pleasing to the Lord, he offered a sacrifice by faith. And Cain, rather than doing better, the Lord said, you can do better than that. He became angry and sought to stop the flow of God into Abel's life by killing Abel. And many times that's what happens, that rather than people doing their best and offering God their best and serving him with their best, they instead become angry at those that God are blessing, those that are experiencing the flow of God, and they try to hinder the flow of God in the lives of others. And so the word of the Lord to us is to strive to give God our best. To worship him with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our bodies. To serve him with the strength and the abilities that he gives us. To give him our best and to allow him to do the rest. And our best will vary from person to person, but it's still, he's looking for our best. This morning I want to talk about the way of Balaam. And if you will turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 14. It says here, this is the Lord writing to, speaking to the church. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent therefore, otherwise I'll come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He was an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then if you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 14, talking about people who have crept into the church. It says, with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable, they are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, the son of a Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness, but he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These men are springs without waters, a mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. So we have two scriptures there. There's a third in Jude that makes reference to Balaam. Just for us to appreciate that even though the story is recorded in Numbers, it's not just for the Jews, it's not just for the Old Testament people. It's for the church, it's for people of all ages until the Lord returns, that there's something about how Balaam functioned that we can learn from. And so we're going to spend some time looking at Balaam. And so in the bulletin there, I put some bullet points to help us. Looking first at Balak. And Balak had observed that the Israelites were being blessed by God. They had been delivered from slavery. They were in the middle of the wilderness. And they were journeying. And the Amorites, they sent word to them saying, "We want to pass through your country." And Amorites are like, "No, no way. You're not going to pass through here." And to make matters worse, the Amorites decided to attack the people of God. And they tried to attack them. And by the grace of God and by the flow of God, the people of God defeated the Amorites. And so Balak observed this, and Balak realized, these people are being blessed by God. These people have the flow of God. These people have the favor of God upon their lives. And I need to, he thinks, I need to destroy them. I need to come against them. And so he sent word to Balaam. And so I'm picking up in Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22 verse 2 says, "Now Balak son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified because there were so many people. Indeed, Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, 'This horde is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field.' So Balak son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to summon Balaam son of Beor, who was at Pethor near the river in his native land. Balak said, 'A people have come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Come now and put a curse on these people because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I'll be able to defeat them and drive them out of the country. For I know that those you bless are blessed and those you curse are cursed.'" And so Balak wanted to defeat the people of God, but he realized that they were blessed. He realized that they had the flow of God with them. And so in his little finite mind, he figured, "I need to find a way to stop this flow of God. I need to find a way where these people will become vulnerable to me." And so he sent for Balaam to come and release a curse upon the people of God. He thought that a curse would weaken the people of God. And we're not talking on curses this morning, but curses can weaken the people of God. It can prevent us from receiving all the blessings that God has for us. And so he thought that by calling Balaam to release a curse upon the people of God, they'd become weak and vulnerable, and then he would be able to defeat them. And so he sent people to negotiate with Balaam. He sent some elders, leaders, and he sent money to pay him to come and do divination. And Balaam went and sought the Lord. It's strange. And the Lord said to him, "Don't go. Don't go with these people. Because basically Israelites are my people and they are blessed." So that's Numbers 22 and verse 12. The Lord said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed." Can I tell you something, friends? Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. If you're walking in the blessings of God, no man from outside, no external circumstances can hinder the blessing of God in your life. But Balak didn't know this. And so the Lord said to Balaam, "Don't you dare. Don't go." So Balaam came back and said to them, "I can't go because the Lord said I shouldn't go." And so the elders left and they went back to Balak. And Balak is like, no, we've got to send some more people. And so he sent more influential people and offered to give Balaam honor and all sort of stuff if he'd come and curse the people of God. And so they came back. And Balaam went to seek the Lord again. I don't know why he needs to seek the Lord again. The Lord already spoke before. The word of the Lord is clear. Don't go. But, you know, like some people, the word of God is clear. The scriptures are clear. Certain things are wrong. And they're still praying about it. They don't need to pray when God's word is clear. How many of you know that? If God said don't steal, you don't need to pray about, should I take this or should I not take it? The word says don't steal. Don't take it. You don't need no special word after that. If the word says don't commit adultery, don't do it. You don't need no special word. But some people, for whatever reason, think that they need to get a word for every little thing when the Bible is clear concerning some things. And so Balaam went back to seek the face of the Lord. Should I go? And so the Lord said, all right, you want to go? Go ahead. And as he was going, and now in Numbers 22 and verse 21, it says, Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went. How many of you know that? God is slow to anger. And it takes a lot for God to get angry. And so God already tells this man, don't go. And he persisted in wanting to go. And the Lord was angry. So the Lord sent an angel basically to kill him. But God was very angry when he went, verse 22, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off the road into a field, and Balaam beat the donkey to get her back on the road. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord, and the donkey was smart enough to realize that the angel of the Lord is standing there with his sword drawn, that is serious. But Balaam was so set in doing what he wanted to do that he wasn't able to see what was happening spiritually. The donkey could see into the spiritual realm, but Balaam couldn't. And so the donkey turned off into a field, and Balaam beat the donkey. And said, why are you doing that? And so he got the donkey back onto the road. And the angel is still there. So the donkey pushes Balaam against a wall and crushes his foot. And Balaam beats the donkey again a second time. And then a third time the donkey basically gets down on his knees and like, I'm not going any further because there's an angel in front of me. And Balaam beat the donkey a third time. Somehow it didn't dawn on this man that there must be something wrong here. Why is this animal behaving so strangely? I've had this animal for a long time. Why all of a sudden is he behaving like this? Today we'd say he abused the animal. And you can imagine how angry he got at this donkey. Because he's trying to go ahead and do what he wants to do, even though he knew before he shouldn't go. I'm down to Numbers 22 and verse 28. It says, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? That's bad enough. But Balaam answers the donkey. It says in verse 29, you made a fool of me. I don't know to who. You made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you right now. To show you how angry this man had become. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden? To this day have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now. I mean, this is serious stuff. But I would have spared her. Balaam said to the angel, I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. I mean, talking about... No, not too smart. I mean, how much more do you need to know and to see and to encounter to realize you're not going the right way? I mean, why do you have to ask the angel, if you are displeased with me, I'll turn back? Can't you... I mean, it seems pretty clear to me that if three times the donkey turned away because the angel was about to kill you, I mean, can't you take a hint? But this man was so bent up upon doing his own thing. According to the New Testament, he loved the wages of wickedness. Something about what was offered to him, he wanted to experience. Perhaps it was a wealth, perhaps it was an honor. Because God already told him before, don't go. Now you have the angel stopping this donkey 3 times. The angel just speaks to you and says, I've killed you. And you still want to go. And I found in my short life that there are some people that they're just bent on doing their own thing. It doesn't matter what the word of God says. It doesn't matter what you say to them. It doesn't matter how frustrated they get in trying to do it. They are bent on doing it and they're going to do it nevertheless. Friends, I want to encourage us and I want to encourage myself. If God says no, just follow what the Lord says. Don't be so bent upon trying to do your own thing that you end up hurting yourself and hurting others because I'm going to get this even if it kills me. I like the flow of God. The flow of God is easy. Jesus says in the New Testament that his burden is easy. You don't have to be pressing, kicking against all the pricks that Saul was doing. Just go with the flow. But Balaam, my goodness. And so there are some things we can learn from the life of Balaam, some lessons. One is to realize that when you're in the flow, the enemy fears you. The enemy fears the people of God, the holy people of God. You see, many times we have been lied to believe that we are the ones who should fear the devil, which is not so, because Paul says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But the devil fears the people of God who are walking in holiness, the people of God who seek to be obedient to God, because the flow of God is there, the presence of God is there, the favor of God is upon their life, and the devil fears that. And so the devil always trying to find a way to rob us of that flow, to rob us of the favor of God in our lives. I put here, if the word of God is clear, just simply obey it. You might not understand it. There are many things God says that I don't understand, but I don't need to understand. If God says so, I just need to be obedient. Many times I try and put into my little small brain here the things and purposes of God as if I am smarter than God. But if God says it, just obey it. It's better for us because he is looking out for my interests and for your interests. And so that's one of the other lessons that we see here in the life of Balaam. Just obey the word of the Lord. The third thing is, as you realize, is that Balak was so persistent, he sent more people to Balaam. He gave additional rewards. And I've come to realize that people many times will seek to entice us to sin, to entice us to go against the word of the Lord. And they will come with all sort of offers, and they'll be persistent. But you and I need to know God's word and to just take a stand. I'm going to be obedient to God no matter what. I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you are offended. I don't care if it's not politically correct. I'm going to stand upon God's word. I'm not going to compromise it. I'm not going to try and reinterpret it. It's clear. And it's amazed. I'm amazed in our today's society where there's so many things that are clear from God's word and people try and make it seem difficult. The scripture I read there in Peter talks about the fact that this donkey rebuked this prophet because of his crazy actions. But it says that he loved the wages of wickedness. And so I put here in the notes that greed and sometimes the desire for fame can lead to compromise. I've seen it in the workplace. People want to get a promotion and so they're prepared to compromise their faith. So greed and the desire for fame can lead to compromise. But here's the one I love. God can use anything and anyone. If he can use a donkey, if he can speak through a donkey, then certainly he can speak through me and he can speak through you. So God can use anything and anyone for his purposes. But friends, please, don't bother, say, Lord, if you don't want me to go, let my dog speak to me. You know, you have some people who are like that. Well, you know, Lord spoke to Balaam through a donkey. So if God doesn't want me to do this thing, he can make my cat speak to me. I'm like, please don't. I mean, the word of God is clear on some stuff. You don't need to hear from any other source because the Bible makes it clear. But the truth is God can use any one of us and will use any one of us as long as we make ourselves available to him. But Balaam's disobedience produced spiritual blindness. He couldn't discern the angel in front of him. He couldn't discern that something was wrong. Even if you can't see the angel, if this is your animal that you've had for a long time and animals behaving so strangely, certainly you should be able to get a hint. I mean, he's a person who flows in the spirit. He should understand these things. And the same thing happens to many of us. We're trying to go along a certain path and God is trying to show us, no, not that way. And we're so persistent, we're going to kick down the door. We're going to do whatever we need to do because we must go through this path. For me, my own life, I've learned to just step back. Just step back. Lord, if you want to open this door, open it. But I'm not going to kick it down. Because disobedience will oftentimes produce spiritual blindness. We can't even discern the hand of the Lord anymore because we've already started to compromise our own faith. And Balaam was fortunate his donkey saved his life. That animal saved his life. This prophet was so stubborn, it could have resulted in his own death. And so Balaam went to try and curse the people of God. And we shared a couple of weeks back about high places and how Balak took him to a high place and he established altars there and had seven sacrifices. And he could see the people of God because he was going to speak the curses into the atmosphere to impact the people of God. But each time he would open his mouth to release a curse, a blessing came forth. Amen. Each time he'd open his mouth, because Balaam wasn't a fake. He was someone who operated in the spiritual realm. And so he knew if he could tap into the spirits of darkness, he could release a curse, but God wouldn't allow that to happen. And so each time he opened his mouth, a blessing come forth. So much so that Balak took him to another high place and said, perhaps if you see them from this high place, you can release a curse. And I've come to appreciate this, and I said it earlier, that friends, when you walk in the will of God, when you walk in the flow of God, no individual, no circumstances can rob you of that flow. You see? And so don't worry about what other people are doing and what they're saying. You just walk in the flow. When you're experiencing the favor of God, let them scheme, let them plan. It doesn't really matter because you're walking in God's favor and God will take care of them. Let them be envious. God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You experience the blessing and the overflow. My cup runs over in the presence of my enemies. You see, many times we have been led to believe that the reason why I'm not walking the floor is because of Tom. Tom has nothing to do with you not walking the floor. Many times it's all because of us, what's happening internally. It has nothing to do with what's happening externally. Numbers 23 and verse 8. This is what Balaam says. How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom God has not denounced? You see, Balaam himself got the message. In verse 20, he says, I've received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot change it. The Bible talks about in John that we get one blessing after another. That's the type of God we serve. God's default response to us is blessing. And we shared a whole series about that. But if you look at it through scripture, from Genesis 1. His response was to bless. He made creation and he blessed them. God's response, default response is to bless. That's why it says in Ephesians, we've received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. So it's already settled in heaven. It's for us to lay hold of them. So Balaam goes on to actually prophesy, which amazes me because this man was called to curse God's people, and instead he ends up blessing them and prophesying concerning their future. Numbers 23 and verse 21, it says, no misfortune is seen in Jacob, no misery observed in Jacob. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There's no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. It will not be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. The people rise like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion that does not rest till he devours his prey and drinks the blood of his victims. Then Balak said to Balaam, you know what? Keep quiet. Neither bless them nor curse them. But Balaam started to recognize something and he started to prophesy concerning the people of God, because whom God bless, no man can curse. And he said, a shout of a king is among them. In other words, they recognize that there's a king amongst themselves. And when there's a king there, when the king speaks, the word of a king is authoritative. And so it's time to celebrate. It's time to rejoice. It's time to realize that we are victorious. And so Balaam is like, you don't understand. These people have gotten a glimpse of something. A king is in their midst. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Nothing can hinder them. No one can prevent them from accomplishing God's will and God's purposes. It's the people are worried about what's happening all around and who's going to stop them from doing what. And they blame government for every single thing. And they don't seem to understand that amongst the people of God, there is a King of Kings. And of the increase of his kingdom, the Bible says, there shall be no end. I'm not blessed because of my job. I'm blessed because of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so he goes on to say that, I put you in the notes, that God is for us. God is for them. God is in the midst of them. And no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. And he's going to silence every accusing tongue. It says like a lioness, they're going to devour those all around them. Someone was watching a clip on YouTube recently. And there was a lioness and there were some, I think, alligators or crocodiles coming up out of the water. And the lioness was there roaring. And it seemed as if the lion recognized what was happening. And so the lion came alongside, full of his mane, and made a big roar. And as that lion roared, those creatures, those crocodiles went right back into the water and disappeared. And I saw in that a picture right here. That we as a church, as we would roar, that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would come alongside us and roar, and the enemy would flee. That we have that ability to summon the presence of God alongside us, and as we would speak God's word, God will come and echo it out even louder than we can. That's why we talked earlier on in this year about proclaiming the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Jeremiah, see, I put my word in your mouth, just speak it. And as we speak, according to Isaiah 55, God confirms it and fulfills it. And Balaam went on to prophesy concerning one who he called a star rising up among them. And scholars think that this might have been speaking about David, or at least speaking about the Messiah. Can you imagine that? And that even Moab itself would be defeated by the star who's going to rise up from amongst the people of God. I'm sure Balak after that said, I wish I just left them alone. Now the word of the Lord is declared into the atmosphere, and this is going to come to pass, because he understood some things about speaking into the atmosphere. And so now that Balaam has released this blessing into the atmosphere, it's definitely going to come to pass. You see, God has a way of turning around things which seem negative for good. And some of the same people who would like to curse you, they're going to realize they can't curse you and then speak blessing. Whatever she does, she's always successful. She always gets the promotion. Yes, I received that. So we need to learn who we are and to function as the people that we are and to realize that really and truly, the only thing that can hinder us is what Balaam eventually told Balak to do. Balaam is like saying to Balak, listen, the only way you're going to defeat those people, the only way you're going to get victory, you're going to entice them to sin. That's what Balaam said to Balak. Listen, Balak, cursing them is not going to work. Fighting against them is not going to work. The only way to weaken them is to allow, is to entice them into sin. Send your people there to entice them into immorality and to entice them into idolatry. Because when there's sin in their midst, it hinders God from working. God says in Isaiah 55, my hand is not too short that I can't save, but your iniquities have hindered me. Friends, only that can hinder the flow of God in your life and in my life is if you and I choose to be disobedient to the Lord and seek to do our own thing. Right. As long as we align ourselves with God, as long as we walk in the Spirit according to Paul, we will see the blessings of God in our lives. But if we give way to the lust of the flesh, if we give way to our own desires, then it cuts off the flow. The devil knows that. So the devil comes to you and he comes to me seeking to entice us into sin. And many times we're not so smart, we don't realize that this is an enticement. The devil is trying to rob you of God's favor, of God's blessing into your life, and to bring you into bondage. And so Balaam encouraged Balak to entice Israel to sin. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion. That's 1 Peter 5. Seeking to devour whoever he finds. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to entice us into sin, because the devil knows that no matter what else he does, it's not going to hurt us. Because I'm walking under the flow. I'm walking with the protection of God. He knows that, you know, if negative things happen, it's not going to faze me, because what? I'm focused upon the Lord, and the Lord gives and the Lord takes. Therefore, I'm not fazed by that. But he knows our weakness. He knows the things that we like. He knows the things from our past. And he leads us into circumstances where he can bring up those things and say, don't you want more of this? Don't you want to go back to this? And you and I should be quick to say, no, thank you. Get thee behind me, Satan. The devil recognized the flow in Christ. Christ got baptized, you remember? And the flow came from heaven. The Spirit of God came upon him. And he was there in the wilderness, and the devil recognized who he was and tried to tempt him so that he could what? Cut the flow. So the Bible says to put no confidence in the flesh. Put all of our confidence in the Lord. I have a scripture there from Joshua, which again demonstrates the fact that sin will hinder the flow. Because Israel had already conquered Canaan, and now they were going into Ai. God told them not to take anything from under the ban, and Achan took something from under the ban. And simply because of Achan's disobedience, when the people of God went up against Ai, they were defeated. Why? Because of sin. Not because Ai was so strong and powerful. And so I want to encourage us, and I want to encourage myself. We know that we sin from time to time, but when the Lord shows you, be quick to repent. Be quick to repent. Be quick to turn away from it. Be quick to say, Lord, forgive me. Be quick to say, Lord, I thank you for your blood. And get back into the flow. Don't seek for greed and fame, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus says, all the rest he will add to us. In Ephesians 5, Paul says to be continually filled with the Spirit. Do not give way to debauchery and to the things of the flesh, but rather be continually filled with the Spirit, singing to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Keeping the flow, in other words, Paul is saying, keep being continually filled and don't give way to the flesh. Amen. That's it. Let the enemy run around and scream. Let people criticize all they want to criticize. Just stay in the flow. And when you fall, get up back. Repent and just get up back and keep walking in the flow. Let us stand. So the way of Balaam is a way of rejecting God's will. It's a way of trying to excuse ourselves when you know that God's will is clear. We still want to do our own thing. The way of Balaam is to allow ourselves to be enticed into sin. But the way of the Lord is a way of his flow, the way of his blessing, the way of his forgiveness, the way of his grace. The way of laying hold of his blessings. And to realize that no individual out there can hinder me from receiving and walking in God's blessing. So I can say I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I'm blessed. When I go to my bed at night, I'm blessed. When I leave home, I'm blessed. When I go to school, I'm blessed. When I go to work, I'm blessed. The blessings of God just follow me and overtake me according to the psalmist. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm so blessed. And I'm going to keep walking in the flow of God, realizing that Satan, the only thing you have against me is just trying to entice me into sin. And I'm going to say no every time. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Maybe there's somebody in this house that you have walked away from the Lord. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, this morning I want to recommit myself to the Lord. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody? You need to get back into the flow. Anybody who needs to get back into the flow, just keep your hand up. Anybody? And for the rest of us, let's just recommit ourselves again just to be faithful to the Lord. And yes, you know, life brings all sort of circumstances, negative circumstances, but realize that none of those things we should really allow to hinder the flow of God. That we can rise above every one of those circumstances. Israel was attacked by the Amorites and they still rose above it and was victorious. It wasn't until they allowed sin into their midst that they experienced a cut in the flow of God. It happens on a personal level as well as a corporate level. When the people of God are united together, the Bible says that their God commands a blessing. But it's only when the people of God get offended against each other that it cuts the flow of God. Let's just take the hand of your neighbor. And just pray for your neighbor that they'd stay in the flow. Pray for your neighbor that they'd be quick to repent when God shows them stuff. And that they'd stay in the flow of God. Let's take a minute and do that. God, this morning we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, God, that all our sins are covered under the blood. Lord, we thank you, God, that through your blood we can have access to you. We can stand righteous before you. Lord, because of your blood, oh God, the enemy has no say in our lives. Because he was defeated 2,000 years ago. Lord, because of your blood, oh God, indeed, there's a king in our midst. Because of your blood, oh God, indeed, as lionesses, oh God, we will see and devour the enemy. Lord God, we understand because of your blood, the enemy fears us because we stand holy before you. Lord, we thank you because of your blood, oh God, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, there's no cause for a curse, so a curse cannot alight upon us, but instead we return to whoever would seek to release that curse upon us. Lord, because of your blood, oh God, we stand being blessed. We can indeed say we are the blessed of Almighty God. And so, Lord, this morning we rejoice in the God whom we serve. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your provisions, oh God. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for giving us more and more and more of yourself. And Lord, like Moses, oh God, we ask you to show us more and more of your glory. Lord, to transform us, oh God, from the very reflection of whom we see, oh God, you. Oh, Father God, give us revelation and insights, oh God, that we might understand who you are. Father God, we bless you this morning and we give you all the praise. Lord, as we leave this place, we ask you to go with us. Lord, we ask that your spirit might rest upon us. Lord, we ask, oh God, that people might sense the very favor of God in our lives. And Father, when you ask us a reason for our hope, oh God, may we be ready to share that reason, oh God. Lord, may your speech be seasoned that way with salt to give grace to the hearers. But Lord, may we always honor the name of Jesus Christ. And so we bless you, Lord, and we give you praise. Now we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,